B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nothing in my career has ever come easy. And no surprise, this isn't going to be easy either. Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And they finally have fallen off. Due to an injury last year, I'll be making my official announcement of my retirement from football. It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family. And I'm honored and so proud to be retiring a Patriot.
And there you have it, Julian Edelman yesterday with an announcement. Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. That was the big news yesterday afternoon. It was a great announcement. It was well done, well produced. The news had broken prior to him making that announcement and posting that video on his social media channels. The news was out. He was placed, he was cut basically by the Patriots. They failed his physical. That's a strategic maneuver by the Patriots and by Edelman, and will allow him to collect an additional $2 million in retirement now because it was due to his knee injury and the injuries he has suffered over the years. And so it's over for Edelman.
Yeah, nice little retirement package right there. Hopefully they do it to us when they kick us out the door one day.
It will not happen for us.
Won't happen to
there
us.
Will be
Might
no,
happen to Hardy. You never know.
There will be no parachute on your way out the door.
Just a little, something little.
Like nope. Maybe they're going to kick you right
box,
out the door.
Not a
no
parachute.
Parachute, and you will fall flat on your face.
How about a plane ticket?
It happens to everybody in this business, and it happens to most football players, too.
Yeah.
That's how it ends for most of them.
He had a hell of a career. He had one hell of a career. It was a pleasure to call a lot of games. You know, running into him and being around him, you know, at the games and you know, events we've done, I got to know him a little bit. He's a little cocky sucker. He operates with a chip on his shoulder in everything that he does, and that's what's unique about him. Because you could sit there and say he's a great player and he's a little bit of a prick too off the field, which he is. But he plays with an edge. He lives life on, you know, with a little bit of an edge, and he's had some big moments. He's had some massive big moments for this football team when the moments were the biggest. You know, he's not one of those guys, you know, that had, oh, he had a nice career, 9 years, made it through 9 years. And then you look, oh, okay, stacked up some stats. And I know there's a lot of other receivers out there. I'm sure we'll be doing some of the comparisons. And I know a lot of the national people are taking their shots right now. But oh, he didn't do what this guy did or that guy did. Yeah, but he never had as many big catches as this guy, Julian Edelman, had. Like, and I remember some of the small ones, like some key third and sixes, you know, when you're down 14 and you're trying to stay alive against Baltimore, or, you know, the throw when you're down 14 to Amendola, because people are going to all talk about, you know, 51, Super Bowl 51, right? You know, the juggling catch, 2 minute, 28 seconds left, and you're down 8, that kept you alive. And of course, his MVP performance in 53. But there's a lot of good moments with him. He's been a fun player to cover, and appreciate everything he does because he did it the right way. He played hard. He laid it on the line. He literally sacrificed his body for the game.
Well, I think the biggest story with Julian Edelman and why his career will be remembered is not only for the success and everything that he did in the big moments and how clutch he was in a Super Bowl MVP and a guy that maybe should have won the Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 49 too. I would say that, you know, he had a really good case to win in that game, too, and could have had two of these.
They never ran in the second half of that game, though.
But like, I think, you know. I think his story is that he came in and continued to sort of chip away at it and made himself into the player that he was.
I mean,
self-made in the sense that he was not a receiver coming in at the NFL level and changed positions and became great at the job. Because he just kept at it. I mean, there is like that, you know, working hard element of him that is, I think, sort of overlooked and not as people remember that he was a quarterback and remember that he was a seventh round pick. But it did not happen overnight.
No.
It took a lot of time.
The story's unbelievable. It really is.
How many, now, if you were to guess, without looking, how many full seasons did Julian Edelman play as a receiver? Like, true full seasons. Where he was healthy and played an entire year. And
was 8 or 9.
Five.
Five?
The number's five.
Wow, that's low.
It's really five full seasons. Starting in 2013. And if you want to give him a sixth, you can give him a sixth. But I look at it and say the year in 2015, he was hurt. He played 9 games. You want to count that as a full year? 9 games? It's like half a year.
Yeah.
So we'll say 5.5. We'll split the difference. It was not a 12-year receiving career. It was not a 10-year receiving career. Here are his targets over the first 4 years of his career. Or I'll give you his catches by year. 37, 7, 4, and 21. Those were the first 4 years of his career. Wasn't here a year or two and then turned into the guy. It took him 4 years to then be Welker's replacement in 2013 when a lot of people thought it was going to be Danny Amendola. It ended up being Julian Edelman.
I remember being
And if you were to ask someone in 2012, hey, they're going to let Welker go, and Edelman's going to be his replacement, you'd say, well, that's not good enough. And if you want to go back to 2009 when he was a rookie and we were heading into the playoffs, I remember what people were saying, both hosts here, but even the callers leading up to that Ravens playoff game when Welker had gotten hurt in Houston at the end of the regular season and the home playoff game with Edelman filling in, people thought they were cooked.
That's a Gary Guyton game, right?
Yeah. They thought, there's no shot. This guy's just a jag. There's no way they're going to get anywhere they want to go with this guy playing wide receiver. So I think the opinion on Julian Edelman really started to shift when you got to 2013.
Yeah, it was. I was in Tennessee.
And
we were calling a game in Tennessee, and it was Hightower and Jones's rookie year.
And that was a hell of a coming out party.
That was a scoop score game. But I remember sitting there and watching the sideline operation.
Which game are we talking about?
This was at Tennessee. We were at Tennessee.
In 13.
Yeah, and all we saw, like, through the first quarter was Edelman. And I'm like, this is interesting. Like, the personnel groupings were, you could tell that's where it switched, and it became his gig. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is going to be Julian Edelman's job now. And that's when he moved away from Welker. And that was Hightower and Jones's rookie year. Right out of the gate, scoop score game. One of them hit him. Created a fumble. The other guy picked it up and ran it in. Beat Tennessee down there in Tennessee. But that was the beginning of it for him. Everybody's going to look at that punt return in preseason, you know, where, you know, Bill's asking Ernie, hey, what's the name of that guy? You know, the Wally Pipp, Lou Gehrig, you know, situation. He says, yeah, it's Wally Pipp. And then he goes to Welker. Hey, Welker, remember that guy, Lou Gehrig? Well, Wally Pipp was playing all these games before him. He goes, way to compete, Welker. He goes, he could have the punt return game.
So the game you're thinking about is not even in 2013. That was in 2012. I just looked it up.
That's where I really started to say, okay, there's something going on with this kid, number 11.
Well, he had 21 catches that entire season.
Yeah. But I thought it was shocking that he...
Maybe you liked him in 2012, but he was in not the guy that he became. 2013 was the Edelman coming out party. He had over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards. He had 6 touchdowns that year. That was the year that he came on.
2012, though, they were sending the message. Like, the transfer was beginning. You could just tell. He was in the huddle at the beginning of games. I'm like, wow.
So what's your point on that, Beto?
And it's not to say that, you know, it was... Trust me, it's not to put him down in any way. It's to say... You think
the impression, was already
of
made.
Having this super long career, and I think 12. I think it was far more compact than people realize, and that speaks to how good he was over that period of time, because you feel like this guy was a part of the fabric for a very long time.
Yeah, like 10 years, easy 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the people, and I'm sure we'll get into it, you know, the discussion about his legacy and his place in the game and, you know, how he'll be remembered and honored. But the compactness of his career was directly impacted by the people who were there before him. It's like, well, he didn't become Welker's replacement until Welker left? No crap. You know, he didn't have a chance to really come on and assert himself as being Brady's favorite weapon until Brady's other favorite weapon or weapons had left the team. You know, there's only so you can only throw the ball once per play. And you know, Edelman had not yet, as good as he was or as good as they thought he was going to be, he wasn't better than Welker. You weren't going to convince Bill Belichick or Tom Brady to, you know, start spreading it around a little bit more just because he was there. No, it was working with Welker, and it worked with Welker. So, you know, that maybe worked against him a little bit in his first years.
I think it's also important to note, though, that after those first 4 years, the Patriots and Bill Belichick were not buying in on Edelman. In fact, they told him to go hit free agency in the spring of 13.
Go test the market.
Go ahead. We're going out. We signed Danny Amendola, what, day one, day two?
$35 million.
Early on in free agency. And they told Julian Edelman, if you want to play here, you're playing at our price. Go test free agency. And he nearly signed with the Giants. They were ready to let him walk out the door. They did, and they did end up keeping him. But they did not put a high value on him, even after 4 years in their system.
Yeah.
And I think his commitment to the team may have been a greater commitment than the team had to him. Now, they won't admit that now. Now they'll tell you how they love Julian Edelman, and he's the greatest, and they respect him so much, and how could you? Yeah, that's in hindsight. I mean, that's now. But in 2013, after those four years in the league, they broke his balls and said, go to the Giants. Go ahead. See if we care. They dared him to leave. And so I think that speaks to Edelman and his work ethic and his toughness mentally, physically, all of it. We love this guy for so many reasons. So many reasons. And it was a great announcement yesterday, too. Even that goofy beam me up thing at the end.
That's him.
Because that's who he is, and that speaks to all the goofy stuff he's done in his social media videos and all of that.
The J-E-11 stuff, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
that's that is
him.
Who
Pop
he
up
is.
Tense. Yeah.
That's not how I would have done it.
What's up, squirrel?
That's maybe not how you would have done it, but that thing, that's what he does.
Yeah.
That's who he is. We have plenty to say about Julian Edelman today. And, of course, on a day like this, we've got montages. We've got remembrances of his career is what we've got.
Some great producers here at this station that when these type of things happen, it's their time.
We got a real good one coming back for you on the other side. You don't want to miss it. Remembering the excellent Patriots career of Julian Edelman retiring yesterday after 12 years in the NFL. Stick around. You want to hear it. It's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Simple.
Working to keep you up to date at work.
What's the drop off between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Okay, between 5 and 7.
What's the difference between 5 and 1?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The 7th round pick, Julian Edelman, number 11. Keep an eye on him.
You know, one kid you might want to take a look at is this quarterback out of Kent State. I don't think he can play quarterback, but pretty good player.
This is Wes Welker in progress. And he looks just like him on the field. It's amazing.
You ever hear of Wally Pipp?
Wally, what? The little man?
That might be the punt return story.
No doubt.
This one is coming down to Edelman. That's to the right, to the 30, 35-yard line, 40, 45-yard line, 50. Cuts to the left. He's to the 40. He's going to take it to distance. Julian Edelman, the Patriots' 7th-round rookie draft pick.
Like, okay, but what are we going to do with Julian? Is he a receiver? Is he a punt returner? Is he a defensive back?
Now Edelman motions down the glove. Quick throw for Julian, setting up a screen. He's going to look to throw downfield. Amendola wide open. Makes the catch at the 18 and strike. He's gone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Brady with the quick lateral to the former college quarterback.
Tom short drop. Looks left. Throws for Edelman. Touchdown, Patriots. They're back in the lead in Super Bowl 49.
When things seem dire, what do you do in life? You go right to people that you can depend on. Julian Edelman.
From an air hash of the 36. Shotgun snap to Brady. Stands in. Throws down the middle for Edelman. Ball's tipped. And Julian's diving for it. Did he make the catch?
He's got it.
He did.
Oh, that's a catch. my God.
That's incredible.
That's amazing concentration by Julian Edelman.
And welcome to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in downtown Atlanta. And it's Super Bowl 53. Brady takes the snap. Throws to Edelman. Makes the catch at the 45. Turns left. And then he slides past the 40-yard line. Edelman makes the catch on the run. Cuts it right. Okay. Tripped up. But he stays on his feet. Angling to the 40. Edelman wide open at the 40. Turns to the 35. A stutter step to the 30. Angling right out of bounds.
Hey, Julian Edelman. Guess what? He's the MVP.
He deserves it. That was one of the best games you ever played.
Nobody has worked harder than in my career than Julian to develop his skills and his craft.
I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
Julian Edelman retiring yesterday. Proud to retire a Patriot, as he said in his announcement yesterday. 617-779-0985, the telephone number.
That's a corporate Louth special right there.
Good work by Jim Louth. Excellent stuff. Remembering what is a career that has all kinds of memorable moments. The one that I think is the most memorable, and this is not to say it was the best catch or most important catch or any of that, just what will be remembered most out of all the great catches and all the clutch moments, in my opinion, will be the catch from Super Bowl 51 with 2:24 to go, 2:23 to go. That's sort of an iconic moment. It's got imagery that is very memorable. Mm-hmm. It obviously was a part of the greatest comeback in the history of sports, right? It's like, you know, Red Sox in 04, Patriots in Super Bowl 51. And I think that thing's going to live on forever, that particular catch.
Sure.
I know there's a bunch of great ones.
Yeah. See, he becomes, you know, MVP, obviously, against the Rams in 53. But that game doesn't happen if he doesn't have the second half that he had against the Chiefs in sub-zero conditions on three massive third downs late in that game. And also in that game, nobody's talked about this. Him not touching that punt. Remember the kick? And they scooped and scored, and we thought the game was over. And it went right underneath his armpit. Most guys panic in that situation and go after and attack the football. He didn't have wherewithal to barely move the arm to let it go under. And he's like, I didn't touch it. And then after review, he did not touch that ball. That was a big moment. Now, it's not a catch or it's not a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a moment that swung the game. That allowed him to line up to catch those third downs. To get him to the Super Bowl. To where he became the MVP eventually. It's a hell of a ride, man. Hell of a ride. Can't wait for the induction here. Throw the red jacket on him. 5 years. Put the clock on.
Is there a five-year rule for
I think,
that?
Yeah, I think it's fine,
I don't know
it?
That there is. I don't know if there
I think
are
so.
Hard and fast rules for the Patriots Hall of Fame.
I don't know the
fame.
Details. Yeah.
Well, I think the other one, you know, if we're ranking them in terms of how they'll be remembered, you've got to go back to Super Bowl 49.
No,
right.
The Chancellor hit.
You've got where he gets crushed over the middle, and he gets up and he keeps going. Likely concussed on the play, and
Shaughnessy.
He had the game winning touchdown in that game.
A lot of people argued that catch even more so than the little zip return route. Remember, they missed it a throw prior. Brady came back to it, so let's run it again. Then he eventually hit it.
The touchdown.
That was the game winner.
The touchdown throw that he had to Danny Amendola in the playoffs against the Ravens.
The only time Gillette Stadium shook. Really. I mean, for calling games and, you know, it's not a real loud building. That place was electric on that play, that one singular play.
And then even, you know, one of the last glimpses of the greatness of Julian Edelman this past year in Seattle.
Oh, huge day. What do you have, .97? I think he had a .97.
And now I think you know what he was dealing with. You know, he's said it himself. He's playing hurt. He played hurt all year.
It started that game, too. Even I remember him catching those balls, diving for him, hopping up on one leg, and it's sort of looking up in the air, like rolling the eyes, like the pain, and then getting back in the huddle. And there were so many times he was active during this past year, like, get him in the game, get him in the game. He couldn't. He was on a pitch count. He couldn't. There were times he couldn't lift the arm up. You know, going back to 2 years ago, really banged up. Brady's last year here. He could not put both hands above his head to catch a ball. The guy probably played with so much more than what we knew or what we understood he played with.
617-779-0985. Let's go to your calls. Dave in Pawtucket. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. I love listening to your show. Hey, do you guys think that Edelman is worthy of having his number retired just like Brady?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, you look at those dynasty teams. It's really Brady. Yeah, people would have said Vinatieri too back in the day. I think time has passed on that to where it wouldn't be. But it's really Brady. Maybe Gronkowski at some point down the road.
I think number retirements, by the way, in the NFL.
It's just there's too many. You don't want to go overboard on them.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. Okay.
Yeah. Now
you need the numbers available.
You do,
quite frankly, and it should be reserved for the rarest of rare players.
Not even once generation. I would say once every maybe 30 years retire a number in the NFL.
I mean, I would say the Patriots.
You retire here. You got to retire Brewskis. You got to retire Laws.
I would say the Patriots have too many retired numbers already.
I agree.
The Patriots do. They've got too many numbers that they're not using already. And the same can absolutely be said for the Celtics in this town. But the Patriots have, here are the numbers that are retired.
They retired Tatum's number yet?
Zero, is that up there?
Now you're being a wise ass.
I know.
You know that?
Yeah.
You're being a bit of a wise ass. Nah. Here are the Patriots retired numbers. Gino Cappelletti has his number retired. Mike Haynes has his number retired. Would you believe that? Like, Mike Haynes.
No. I believe Mike Haynes is a Hall of Famer. I didn't think they'd
retire. Without a doubt. Right. But, I mean, what?
Gino was the all-time scoring champion in American football, in the AFL. Like, Gino should be in the Hall of Fame also.
And just because you're in the Hall of Fame doesn't mean you should get your number retired.
Correct.
Mike Haynes didn't even play his entire career here. And as great as he is, and we love him personally, he's been very good to us, come on the show a bunch of times. Like,
There's two guys prior to Brady that I think should have had
and
him
that
retired.
Should always weigh in on the number of retirement. You know, are you good to the local radio show?
Yeah.
Mike Haynes, retired. Yep. Steve Nelson, retired.
No.
Nelly, sorry.
I love Nelly. Good friends with Nelly. Nelly will tell you shit and retire the number.
So we've got three so far, and we've agreed that Gino Cappelletti gets his number retired, and that's it.
There's only two other ones that should be retired.
John Hanna is retired,
that's
73.
One.
That feels like an appropriate one.
Yep.
Bruce Armstrong has his number retired. I think the guy was terrific as a player, but what? No, I don't get that.
Yeah, don't get that one.
Jim Lee Hunt, I can't speak to his career.
But you know what?
But that's going way back.
Real quick here, too. Going back to Armstrong, it's sort of the beginning of that transfer to where maybe we're going to have some good football teams, never expecting you'd win six Super Bowls in the next 20 years to where you're going to have all these other players after Bruce. Bruce was looked at as one of those great players.
Well, here's what I would say, Zoe. Number retirements are a problem that plague the NFL.
I mean, we had...
Do you know how many numbers the New York Football Giants have retired?
No.
I have to count them here, but I'm looking and just at first glance.
56. 11.
They got 14 different numbers retired. Too many.
Too many.
Too many numbers. Oh, the Eagles retired Donovan McNabb's number?
That's pathetic.
Oh, this whole list for the league is
terrible.
Disgusting.
That's why you have a problem now in the league where they got to clear numbers out to allow other positions to wear them.
Gross. Too many number retirements.
It should be Hannah, Tippett, Brady, Geno. That's it.
And there are some teams that don't do them. For example, the Dallas Cowboys don't do it. It's like, what do they have? The Ring of Honor?
Yeah,
is that
the
what
Ring
it is?
Of Honor.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
They don't retire the number. They give you the Ring of Honor.
The Ring of Honor.
Which should be what the Patriots Hall of Fame serves as. So, Hardy, I like your idea. You can only retire a number once every 30 years. Every three decades, you're allowed. And Bob D was the last Patriots number retired on the list. Cappelletti, Haynes, Nelson, Hanna, Armstrong, Jim Lee Hunt, and Bob D are the retired numbers. 20, 40, 57, 73, 78, 79, 89.
No offense to those other guys either.
None.
Yeah.
So don't go crazy. Don't change your mind and retire Edelman's number here in a couple of years.
No,
because when Brady retires, you're going to have to wait until 2050 something before you can do it.
What? One guy from this whole era gets his number retired. It's Brady. That's it. Nobody else.
That's it. One.
There's only 112. Andrew's in Milton. Andrew.
Hey, guys. A couple things. I love Edelman as much as the next guy. I think my favorite play he ever had was
the one against Miami a few years ago where Michael, it was like a 60-yard touchdown. Michael Floyd had like a huge booming block.
Oh,
it was
a
awesome.
Good one. Yeah.
But Zoe, I just got to ask, I got trouble giving Edelman credit for in 2018, the AFC Championship, when he almost muffed that punt. That had nothing to do with his awareness. He was trying to go get the ball. He messed up, and the ball didn't touch him.
Yeah, but he pulled off it. Some guys would have continued to, like, scramble, and they would knock it around. They'd be on, you know, flustered around on their hands and knees trying to go get it. And
the awareness was he knew he didn't touch it.
Yes.
So, therefore, he didn't chase.
His ability to argue it.
Exactly. The frame of mind to know, okay, I didn't touch it, and I'm not going to pretend like I did.
He didn't turn and chase. He pointed straight to the scoreboard. Replay it.
Right, but he did sort of have a – he did get a little lucky at the start of the play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Andrew's right about that.
No doubt.
The frame of mind, though, after it got by him, though, was, okay, no, I know I didn't touch it.
It's like, you know, when guys are guilty or not the second they make a play. It's how they argue it. Are they shocked by it, or are they like – oh, we just get up, matter of fact. No, I'll just get up and point to the scoreboard.
All right, more of your thoughts on Julian Edelman's career, calling it quits after 12 years in the NFL, with the Patriots. He is not continuing his career. There are some people that, for some reason, can't buy it and still want to know, is there a shot he continues playing and continues playing elsewhere? We'll answer that question next.
That's an easy one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Nothing but huge crowd for Julian, man. He was a great teammate. Three-time Super Bowl champ, MVP of the Super Bowl. Of course, you gotta give it to Jules, man. He gave it his all. His whole career, and he was a wonderful teammate. Had a lot of good times with him. And
fun to watch.
He's going to keep on thriving. Yeah, he's a beast. The numbers just don't show everything that he brings to the table. Just the attitude and competitiveness that he has.
So it's more than just the numbers, obviously?
Yeah, it's more than the numbers that makes Julian Edelman.
Is there any chance that he ends up in Tampa Bay with you guys next year?
Has there... 69% chance.
Yeah. A 69% chance? That's Rob Gronkowski.
Of course it is.
Always the class act, always the adult, Rob Gronkowski.
Very well thought out prior to the 69%. Just can't help himself. He's always got to slide that in. But I thought it was pretty insightful and thoughtful prior to that.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, for Rob, yeah.
For Rob.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess
consider,
so.
Consider the...
He's about to turn 32 years old. Like at some point, you're like, all right, Rob, you're not 22 anymore. You know?
Surprisingly lucid.
Yes. Thoughtful.
Right. So Rob Gronkowski is jokingly saying there is that 69% chance. What are the chances of Julian Edelman continuing his career and playing elsewhere after his announcement yesterday?
Zero. And the reason I say that is, and that's a great lead-in right there with that guy, because I never thought that guy was done. That guy that you just heard in Rob Gronkowski was the greatest tight end to ever play the position. Said he was retiring. Never, and I still stand by this, never got that send-off, that press conference. Rob Ninkovich got one. Mayo got one. Edelman just had his yesterday.
He did? He had a press conference?
No, but you don't go through that, Fox Pro forever, fully staged, sitting at midfield on a folding chair, reminiscing, playing all the highlights, and then he just told you, I said I was going to play this game until the wheels fell off. Well, folks, the wheels fell off.
Yeah, he's really making a great case for another team to sign him. I'm broken.
Yeah. I'm
broken and feel that I am not capable of playing football anymore because my wheels have fallen off.
I think he could play with pain. I really do. I think he could play through the pain. The problem is I think he now realizes his effectiveness is in his ability to win in tight spaces is shot. And that's the tragic part of this for him. I can't play. I can't win. I can't be the player that I have to be. The way I have to play it, my knee won't allow me to do that. And that hurts as a player.
So I believe if he continues playing, the injury protection benefit wouldn't exist for him, right?
Correct. He'd have to pay that back.
He'd have to, that $2 million, up to $2 million that he can collect would then go bye-bye.
He's good enough to do other stuff, you know.
So you're saying he could go home and retire and not have to play. He's got three rings. He's got a Super Bowl MVP.
Sure.
And we think he's going to hang on to try and play with Brady. Guys, no. That announcement doesn't go down the way that it did yesterday. And him saying
how proud
he was to retire as a Patriot.
He walks out that door pissed off yesterday if he wants to play with Brady. You want to cut me? Go ahead and cut me. I'll show you.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
He's done. I thought it was such a lame take yesterday by people on the social media channels. He's going to the Bucks. No, he's not. Stop.
Doesn't that take away from his moment a little bit?
Sure does.
What does? That people are saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I think it's obnoxious a little bit, to be honest with you.
He's not done.
Right. He's not done. Well, he's done. No, he's telling you he's done, and he did it in a very dignified way, how he announced it.
Classy.
Yeah. So why don't
the way everybody should go out.
Why don't you respect that he's actually done.
The other guy didn't
and
that, do
that he was not one to get out of Dodge as fast as he could like Rob Gronkowski did.
Gronk kind of ruined it for him.
Gronk was unhappy, and he wasn't having fun, and he had CTE, but he got that cured in a matter of a year.
Julian Edelman was ever a guy who complained about not having enough fun? He strike you as that guy?
No, he actually, I think he, you know, and you watch that relentless documentary on him and where they follow him around after the knee injury and stuff. Yeah, the 5 a.m. workouts and stuff.
His fun's being a complete psycho.
Yeah.
Which is like what Belichick wants you to be.
It's the Brady maniacal. He and Brady are two of the same.
But even Brady didn't have enough fun at the end.
He's got to be the overachiever, though, you know. Yeah. You're playing a position where
for all the
guys
talk
are running 4.3. They're bigger. There's Julio Joneses of the world. You know,
for all the
DeAndre
talk of
Hopkins.
Brady overcoming the odds, right?
Yeah.
Did Brady overcome the odds the way Edelman did?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
And Brady's got a great story, too. Sixth round draft pick, and the league didn't want him and didn't value him coming into the league. But
yeah,
give me a break.
I don't know about that, Beadle.
Brady played it in Michigan and won a big bowl game at the end of his college career.
Nobody believed in him.
You know, and I get
nobody
it.
Believed
I get
in him,
it. He should not have dropped to the sixth round. But he entered as a quarterback. He continued to improve and is, you know, again, maniacal. I get that.
The message is never take your shirt off at the combine.
Edelman was a quarterback at Kent State and found his way to the NFL and found his way into a brand new position in the NFL.
Did you hear
as just a means of hanging on, would punt, special teamer, would cover, would play defense as needed in 2011, did everything that was asked of him.
Yeah. Did you hear how this all started, though? Was this writer down in Dallas that covered special teams and was good at evaluating special teams and did these rankings. Mm-hmm. He ran into Belichick, and he's talking to Belichick. He said, hey, I know this kid's a quarterback, but he plays at Kent State. Maybe you should take a look at him. I know you're not going to make him a quarterback, but there's something there with this kid. So they sent Ivan Fierce to work him out. So Ivan Fierce went to work him out at Kent State, and then threw a couple balls and goes, holy crap, you could catch the ball. Wow, you could catch the ball, two-hand throw it. Huh. So Ivan went back. They sent Scotty O'Brien out, special teams coach at the time. And then they split him out and ran receiver drills. Can you catch some punts for me, please? They backed him up on a jugs machine, caught some punts, went back to New England. Edelman never heard from him again until Bears called him that were drafting in the seventh round. He thought he was going to Green Bay or Dallas. Yeah. Thought he was going to be in Green Bay.
You want to talk about trying to take away from a guy's day in his announcement? Mike Florio just posted this exact thing about, is Julian Edelman truly retired? And it's on Pro Football Talk. He says, sure, he said in a retirement video that the wheels have come off. Just last week, however, the Boston Herald reported that it's doubtful Edelman will be able to play a full 2021 season. This implies he'll be able to play some of 2021.
Nah, everybody was starting to hear whispers. You and I have talked about this.
For a while.
I know it's bone on
we
bone.
We talked about it last week, and what did we say? Nobody else wants him.
This was like this since, we've talked about this since August, the bone on bone stuff. Okay.
The Buccaneers, he writes, the Buccaneers don't need him now. They don't need him in August or September or October or November. He could join the team for the stretch run to get up to speed with the goal of contributing in the playoffs, and he could then add to his postseason legacy, maybe even with another Super Bowl MVP award. Does Florio listen to himself when he writes this? How do you win a Super Bowl MVP when you have a hard time staying on the field and playing football? He says, it wouldn't be fair to mention the possibility. Oh, here, hold on. Yeah. An unretirement currently seems unlikely in light of his health. However, as the NFL explained it earlier this morning in an email, which means Florio emailed the league, because Edelman has been cut by the Patriots, he won't be subjected to PED testing. Edelman, who was suspended four games in 2018 for PED use, could now, in theory, do whatever he has to over the next several months without fear of PED testing in an effort to get his knee right for one last ride in Tampa. Can you fix knees with PEDs?
No.
Because, quite frankly, that sounds amazing if you can. That's great news
for people
with knee problems.
I'm sure he would have done that.
Now, that HGH is some magical stuff. I don't know.
I mean, it is when you need a little boost, when you need to get your speed back.
It's hard when you
I don't know that it fixes a bone-on-bone knee situation.
There's a stuff called cartilage that sort of exists between the upper part of the leg and the lower part of the leg that needs sort of that cushion. Yeah.
All right, CGH. You need some cartilage growth hormone.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Shoot some of that in there.
Yeah, shoot that up.
But can't they regrow ears and stuff? Can't they regrow some cartilage and just slide it in there? Strap it all up, put a knee brace on.
Pig cartilage.
Yeah. Would you give him a piece of your nose if he could play again?
No.
Your nose is all cartilage.
Only here.
How many Patriot fans would give up their cartilage for him?
We need to grow Edelman a new knee in the lab. Who's volunteering?
Let's go.
Anyone?
Line him up.
Anyone?
Yeah, the one guy that sits in section 106. Nose. He's got every Pats player tattooed on his arm. The guy with the silver head.
Here's be a fun segment. Let's find out. Let's between the three of us determine who has the biggest nose at the Sports Hub, and then we'll volunteer that person to donate cartilage to Julian Edelman's knee.
It's Maz.
I never think of Maz as having a big nose.
Look at it next time.
Who has a big nose?
Maz.
Yeah.
But it can't be bone. It's just got to be
I don't think we have bunker. Anybody that's the obvious answer. Like, oh, he's got a huge nose.
Ted Johnson.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's got a big schnauzer.
He's got a big everything.
I guess nose is on roids.
Hey, ba-dum, boom. No, Coney, we'll get to more of your calls on Edelman's career. There's obviously this question now about whether or not Julian Edelman belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's come up. We've talked about it before. It's not a new topic here, but we'll revisit next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story, in the middle of the day.
He's already settled some debts with the Cosmo in Vegas.
Oh, the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Newton in the gun. He takes the snap against the four-man rush. Backs up. Shuffles left. Throws a deep ball down the left side. He's got Edelman. Lays out and makes the diving catch inside the 30. A sensational play by Edelman on the throw from Newton, beating Adams in coverage.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't even like the Edelman Hall of Fame topic today, personally. Because if it were my Hall of Fame, I'd put him in for what I value. The toughness, the grit, just balls. Always so freaking clutch. I value those things.
You ever take a playoff?
I value the clutchness. I value the story. I value the winning. I do. I value those things. But I've got bad news for everybody who thinks he is going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to get in.
He's a Patriot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. he does not meet what has been an established criteria of getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He will not get elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that does not diminish anything that he did in his career. He has a tremendous resume and a great career that we will all very much remember here in New England and beyond. And that, to me, is what is valuable, that it will be remembered. It will not be forgotten. You can't take away his achievements. You can't take away his moments, whether it be in any of the games we mentioned, Super Bowl 49 or Super Bowl 51 or the Ravens playoff game. He has some stuff that is going to be remembered for generations to come. Anyone who was alive and saw that will never forget Julian Edelman's career, and that is extremely valuable. But he's not going to get enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame unless there is a huge shift in how the voters do the voting.
Right.
Or there is a massive turnover in voters, and there are younger voters, and we sort of talk about this in the Major League Baseball.
Love production. They love stats.
But I just can't see it as it currently stands.
I agree.
The current method of voting and the current way and established criteria over the years of what it takes to get in, he's not going to get in.
His postseason statistics are unbelievable. They're only really comparable to Jerry Rice. And we all know what Jerry Rice is and what he meant to the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if Edelman was on another team if they would have used him the way the Patriots used him. He may have faded out of the league in 2 or 3 years. Because you look at the guy, sort of a short, bulky, slot, white receiver, and guys kind of tend to come and go, and they get phased out because, guess what? We just found a guy who can run a 4.3.
Everybody's making
And this guy blew away the combine. You know, we're going to draft this guy. He's first-round pick. We're putting him in. Guys like Tavon Austin, you know, like, put him in. Other teams would, like, salivate over that guy. Edelman, yeah, he's a good player. He's tough. You know, but the value
to this
team. I
don't think
that
should diminish him, though, that other teams didn't
No.
A way to use him the way the Patriots
they
did.
Found out he used, like, he was more valuable than any receivers they've had. Like, he never took plays off. We've seen Randy Moss take plays off, and I'm not comparing the two. They're two totally different receivers. You know,
Randy Moss is a first ballot automatic Hall of Fame.
Yeah, correct. But that guy would take plays off, is my point. This guy never could take a playoff. If he ever took a playoff, he'd be done.
The comparison being made today by a lot of people, including Florio, is Hines Ward. And that is, I mean, it's a good scenario to bring up. I think it illustrates the point. Hines Ward has 1,000 catches in his career, over 12,000 yards, and 85 touchdowns to go along with a Super Bowl MVP award and 4 Pro Bowl appearances. Edelman has nearly 400 fewer catches, has 6,800 yards as opposed to 12,000, has 36 touchdowns versus 85 in Hines Ward.
Yeah.
Hines Ward's career. He, of course, has a Super Bowl MVP, and he does have a – he would have had a Pro Bowl in there, by the way. He was named as an alternate, except the Patriots were in the playoffs, and so I give him a Pro Bowl. He still doesn't have 4 of them. He doesn't have 4 of them.
Hines is a badass. Hines was their Edelman. Like, he would knock your head off blocking. Like, these are receiving statistics that we're just talking about here. His importance in the running game and for what they did on those outside runs with the bus, and they had really invented the short motion, flexing him out, bringing him in motion, a crackback. Like, they literally took the crackback, the blindside block, out of the game because this guy perfected it. He'd ear hole you and knock you out. This guy was all over the field, too.
And so Hines Ward has had a tough time getting in. He has not yet been a finalist in 5 years on the ballot.
Because we salivate over the Reggie Waynes and the Torrey Holtz of the world.
There is a bias toward the outside finesse receivers.
Yeah, did you see the way he's silky smooth?
When it comes to Hall of Fame voting. And this is all part of it, so it's a reason, it's a good thing to be mentioning because that is how the voting has gone. And Hines Ward was just as important to multiple Super Bowl wins. Hines Ward has 2 rings. He has an MVP award. He's got fabulous statistics. He was a second-team All-Pro 3 times. So he was, at the time, recognized as one of the best in the game in his career. And I think Hines Ward would be on the short list of who are the best receivers you really like in the game. Hines Ward. Hines Ward was tough, too, like Julian Edelman. Tough player.
You brought up a good point about 49, Super Bowl 49. He could have 2 Super Bowl MVPs, meaning Edelman.
And I'll say this about Hines Ward and Julian Edelman. They are both in a rare class of Super Bowl MVPs. There have only been, in the history of the Super Bowl, there have been seven wide receivers to win the MVP award. And four of them were very recent, last 20 years. Branch, Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes, and Julian Edelman. The other winners, you got to go back a ways. You got to go Lynn Swann, Fred Biletnikoff, and Jerry Rice.
Swanny.
So they're both in that rare class of receivers who have won an MVP in the Super Bowl. That's not a common thing. And Hines Ward can't get in. What does that tell you about Edelman's chances? And I don't know that the football writers have any issues like the baseball writers do.
Well, what is it?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.